Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are as we're moving toward finalizing the last couple of sessions here on discerning God's will as a primer for this year. And we wanted to kind of reinforce and add some new material in terms of going step by step by step, and that it's not about, you know, just give me the answer and I'll see you later, or I'll trust that you'll close these doors or block me if it's not right. It's expecting to have understanding step by step. And the focus is on, again, what's next. Mm-hmm. What's that step next, as opposed to the whole story or the whole thing? Because remember, we're walking on a path and there are forks in the road that we come to because things happen. Or there are people involved here that have authority or that can do things that may not be in agreement with God.
Yeah, free will is at play, right?
Free will is at play, and things happen, and say, okay, now that this happened, you know, now what? And we read this story last time of David, that he thought he had, you know, wonderful things settled. He was living in a town, had defeated the Philistines, but Saul's coming after him. And properly, David said, well, now what? Mm-hmm. He didn't make assumptions. He didn't say, well, I want.
Right.
Rather, based on what I've now understood, which I don't yet know the answers, what do you have to say? Mm-hmm. And God says, well, I'm going to lead you to the next piece of the path. And it's step by step by step. So really the focus is on, first of all, am I on God's path? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, when Jehoshaphat, for example, was coming with armies against him, he said, okay, they're coming against me. Father, you know, what do you have to say? And it reiterated that God said, I'm going to still provide you the covenant. I am going to save you. I promised that already. So stay on that path. But Jehoshaphat said, I believe that. I trust that. Mm-hmm. But exactly what do you want me to do on this situation? I got a problem here. I got an issue. I need to know specifics. Rhema. Direction, instruction, what's the next step? What do we do now? See, and that's how it works. So that he'll say, I'll give you a promise. I am going to say, I'll resolve this, or here's my promise about this situation. I will give you an answer, etc. And then the focus is on, okay, what's the next step? Mm-hmm. And that's all I really need to know is, what do I take the step, particularly when I come to forks in the road?
Right.
You know, gosh, I could go this way or this way or this way. Sometimes the forks have three or four options to them. And so what do you, we have to say? And see, the key is, it's not that I see a binary fork, so should I take A or B? And God says, well, keep being more pure than that. Mm-hmm. I know what you see here. That's good. But why don't you just say, what do I have to say about it? Because I could say, actually, I have a whole new way for you to go. Mm-hmm. And don't
Something
give me
you don't that. Even see yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I do A or B? And he said, well, actually, I don't want you to do either one of them. I have a new one because you know, what do you have to say about this? So we're seeking his answers. And the key, as it was with David. So he told David, you got to leave. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what was David's requirement at that point when God said, you got to leave?
That he needed to do that.
He had to be obedient to the instructions. So God didn't say, well, here's the next eight things that are going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. He just said, right now, David, your instruction is to leave. That's all I'm telling you.
Right. And David had a responsibility simply to take that next right step, to step into what God was saying and then continue to seek him, right?
Yep. Yeah. And by the way, this is called faith, that I know where God is going. He did say he's going to become king. Mm-hmm. So he's been promised that. Now, as far as David is concerned, he would just say, well, just make me the king.
Right.
And God says, well, I am going to get you to that promise, that path. Mm-hmm. But right now, your instruction is just leave. That's it. And you have to be obedient to it. Okay, now the scriptures tell us and give us some insight about this. So go to, first of all, John 14. Mm-hmm. Read verses 24.
Sure. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
Yeah. So he's, you know, telling him that, you know, up until now, we've been walking together for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've given you lots of instructions,
right,
which you primarily followed because you knew it was me giving you these instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And if I said, like, for example, after the feeding of the 5,000, okay, boys, get in the boat and go across the lake. By the way, I'm not going to be with you because I'm going to go pray with the Father. They said, okay.
Right. They learned to trust that, right?
Yeah, they're learning. By the way, they have a, you know, problem out there with the storm and all that, but they recognize that, you know, we followed his instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And it did turn out to help us understand something that he needed us to understand, and it was part of his will. And he says, you have faithfully followed my instruction because you heard it from me. Now he said, now I'm leaving. However, the same relationship is going to continue because, and he says, I will be in the Father will be in me, we will be in you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who's God. And the God, it's all of God, it's all of us. And we're in you and we're going to operate in you. And the same process is going to be working just like it has been working. What? I'm going to speak a word,
mm-hmm.
an instruction. And he said, if you love me, you'll do what?
You'll respond. You'll obey.
You'll be obedient and follow that word. Now, the affection there, the word agape love, affection, mm-hmm. is it's based on belief and your heart. And it's this. If I said, hey, Kathy, for you and Dan, it would really be wise if you go visit your kids and take them to dinner and help them through a decision. Okay. And I said that to you, what would you have to believe about me?
I have to believe that your intentions towards me were good.
Yeah.
For one thing. Right.
Yeah. And that I knew something
mm-hmm.
that is beneficial
right.
to you and to others in this broader story. So that in order for you to be obedient to that, it's based on belief.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the belief? That God is good. He knows what he's up to. His will is best and none better. He's going to lead me to the covenant. So if he gives me an instruction,
mm-hmm.
I love him because I know who he is.
Right.
And by the way, this is why the process is so important to keep following, because the more we do, the more we learn
mm-hmm.
his will is best and none better. And I believe it.
Yeah.
And I love him because of that. And then he says, secondly, that your heart has an understanding and a desire to be with me
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to deliver the answers to you. And they're going to be best and none better. And your heart is, well, I'm going to be with you even when that step of obedience either doesn't make sense or it seems like
mm-hmm.
there may be some difficulty with that. But because of your love for me, you're going to follow me. And it's a mm-hmm. hard thing. So that, you know, if Dan said something to you and you said, well, I'm not so sure about that, but because of my affection,
right?
Sure. I'm going to go with you because I know that being together is a good thing.
Right. And I just want to highlight the difference here in doing something to earn love and responding out of overflow of having received love. Because
okay.
I
Talk
do think we can sometimes get in, especially, you know, out of the desire to do good and whatever issues we've had growing up and, you know, just different baggage that we may carry. We can get into performance mode where obedience to God becomes a performance thing, and I'm doing this to earn his love. And that's not what this passage talks about. It's talking about out of an overflow of receiving God's love and knowing the depths of his love for you, your natural response, what you can't help but do, is to step in obedience to him because you know him, you love him, you trust him. You see the purity of his love towards you, and the natural outpouring to that is to respond in obedience.
Yeah.
Not to earn, but just as an overflow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the and then there's, as you look at that, and thank you for bringing that up, is that people get into the mode of, well, I thought I was doing the right things and it's not working out too well. Mm-hmm. I must not be doing it correctly.
Right.
And I better be better at this. And the reason that it's not working out is that I'm not doing enough, or I'm not doing the right stuff, and it's on my back and I've got to do it better. Out of that thought is, if I do it better, then God will love me.
Right.
And he says, no, I love you. You're my child. I actually am inviting you to the very best. And it's okay that you struggle. I'm not sure. What about? Is this going to work? You know, give me the power to take the step. But he basically makes a statement. He says it twice. It's an if-then statement. Mm-hmm. If you truly love me, what will you do?
You'll obey my commands.
You'll obey my word. Mm-hmm. You'll obey my instruction. And it's a demonstration that you love him. Mm-hmm. And it's built on the idea that I believe that he's going to lead me to the very best. Mm-hmm. I have to learn that, because see, think about the people that we disciple. Usually it starts with, I prayed and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And my life is kind of crummy. And I thought God was supposed to provide a good life to me. He's not.
Right.
So why would I want to trust him? Mm-hmm. I might as well just do this myself, because I'm in this false thought that evidently either God really isn't that good, or he doesn't really care, or life is just going to be trouble and difficult and awful, or I've missed it because I'm just not good enough and I can't ever be good enough. So why bother? It's called resignation. And I'm going to try to control my own life. And God says, well, let me show you that what you've experienced isn't really me. So like, for example, the Israelites that crossed the Red Sea that never made it to the Promised Land could say, well, God isn't that good because our life is crummy. And God says, well, my step of obedience was to go across the Jordan to the Promised Land.
Right. So you haven't hit what I had for you.
And I can't give it to you because you chose not to follow my instruction.
Right.
And this next step is important for the next step. Now, again, anything about repentance is that we can finally wake up and say, you know what? I've realized this. I'd like to learn a different way. I'm willing to learn to be obedient. I really do want to learn to love you and receive your love. And that's what you said, is that it's not about earning love. It's about receiving love.
Right.
That I have a heart to do that. So I'm going to learn. So help me understand. So think about how beautiful this is. God says, if you love me, you'll follow. And he uses the word. He doesn't say follow a bunch of law. Mm. He says, follow what I say to you.
Yeah.
Be obedient to what I say to you. Okay, now if that's true, okay, somebody says, okay, all right, I'd like to learn this. Mm-hmm. What must they learn?
To hear his word.
I got to learn what it means to hear what he has to say. Mm-hmm. See, that's the beautiful thing. This is why our whole ministry is built on this, is that abiding and hearing his voice and then being obedient to the steps is critical. And he says, don't worry, I'll give it to you. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. And then as you do, and we all know this, once we learn it, why would we ever not say?
Right, right.
Because, well, I got an issue. I got anything. He can break in anytime he wants to. He can say something to me. Sure. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be fantastic. Let me learn that. He says, so if you love me, you'll be obedient, just like David was. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. First of all, verses 1 and 2. He just makes an interesting statement about this.
Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Yeah. So he said the focus isn't on the blessing. I want, or even claiming, here's a blessing I claim.
And it's not chasing the blessing. Absolutely.
It's not chasing the blessing. It's no, he says, if you diligently hear what I have to say and then follow what I have to say, you'll be in the right place at the right time with the right people for me to deliver the promises that I have for you. And they'll overtake you, not because you look for them, it's that I'm going to give them to you. And your focus is on now what? Mm-hmm. What do you have to say to me now? And help me to get clarity about the steps. He said, you'll hear what I have to say and you'll follow what I have to say willingly. Mm-hmm. If you do, hear and follow, it'll come upon you. Okay, now go to verse 15. It says, now, by the way, I need you to understand something.
There's a flip side to this.
What does it say in 15?
It says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes with which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you.
Okay, so now he says it, and you got to look at what he says. He didn't say that you heard and refused. He didn't say that. He said, now you, that's one way that could happen. He says, if you don't hear what I have to say, and then you don't follow what I have to say, you're walking into the opposite of what I promised you, which is the covenant blessing and the goodness of my will for you. You're actually walking into the trouble that's going to get worse and worse and worse. Why? Because you're going back into the world. You're going back into the flesh, and you're not walking with me in the kingdom. And the reasons that you may not is twofold. One, you actually never learned to hear my voice. That to me is the bigger issue.
Right.
When I invite people to say, hey, God, I guarantee you God will resolve this issue for you. Well, how do you do that? Well, I got to teach you first to hear his voice, because he has an answer and he'll tell you. And by the way, it'll be best and then better.
Right.
So let me help you with that first, because you don't even believe you can hear his voice. So he said, if you hear my voice and then you follow what I have to say, and he says, I'll first of all show you what it means to hear my voice, one, and then two, I'll give you the power to be obedient. And this is, by the way, where your spouse going to unity, or your friend going to unity, or your inner circle is, we can help with the part of, okay, what have you heard? Okay, I confirm that. Are you able to follow that step? It's a struggle for me. Okay, that's okay. Let's walk together, because God will give you the faith. He'll give you the strength to take that step. And we're going to encourage you not to ignore that step.
Right.
Or to say, I'm just not going to do anything. We're going to say, well, then you're not going to receive the blessing that God has for you. So let me stay with it. Let me help you stay with it until you see, okay, you know what? I will take that step. And we're not going to let you not take that step, see? Because we're not going to just say, okay, fine. We're going to say, wait a second. You're preventing God's blessing from coming because you're not willing to take the step that you now know what the step is. Okay, let me help you with that. So he says, if you don't hear, which a lot of people don't even know how to do that. So they're never going to get there. Or you're hearing and you're struggling. Let me help you with that, so that you don't walk away from the blessing and you walk into the curse. And he says, I can't make it any simpler for you. My will, I have a will. It's going to deliver the covenant. It's going to deliver the best. I'm going to resolve this adversity. I'm going to make it happen. But you got to be with me. Got to hear what I have to say, and you got to be obedient to what he has to say. Okay, Joshua kind of puts this together in an interesting statement. Go to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15.
Sure. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah. So this is, by the way, this is after they've conquered the full promised land 5 years later. They're all at peace. They're experiencing the blessing of that. They're living in beautiful homes, beautiful farms. Great animals are productive. They're getting a blessing everywhere, and nobody's attacking them, which is what God promised. If you come to the promised land, this is what it's going to look like. So the best and none better. He said, now, and Joshua knew this. He said, now, we got there. He said, however, I want you to understand something. We have more of the path to go. There's the next. He said, it's based upon a choice you have to make. Are you going to serve and love God and follow God, hear his voice and follow him? And it's a choice that you make when?
Daily, the time. Moment by moment.
Along the path. So don't think, hey, this thing was resolved. Hallelujah. Great. I'll see you later. And I just expect it to remain. And God says, no. And Joshua understood this. There's now the next. And he says, now, I'm telling you, you got to make a choice. Now he says this, for me and my house, we're going to do what?
We're going to serve the Lord.
We're going to keep following. We're going to hear and follow. We're going to hear and follow. So this issue of obedience is really critical. And it's, mm-hmm. it's obedience to just the next step.
Right.
Is okay. What is your instruction? What step do you want me to take? The step is going to lead to the very best. I don't need to know the whole story, and I don't even know how I was going to need to know every step of the way, mm-hmm. partly because the step will lead me to another next, which may be a fork in the road.
Right.
And it, depending on what I am willing to hear and follow, will determine the next.
Yeah.
So that's why he can't tell you everything, because things are going to be dynamic. Self-centered mm-hmm. people are going to be involved. Situations are going to happen. New truth is going to happen. And there's forks in the road. And which fork I take determines God's path. Now there's a good news, by the way. There is one good news about this. I come to a fork, and let's say I make an error. I don't care. I just take the step, and it's not the right mm-hmm. step. What's the good news?
That's the gospel. What about now? You come right back to God, and okay, what now?
And God can walk
you into restoration.
You know, and think of, you know, the GPS in the car. You know, I have a direction. Mm-hmm. And I've done this a few times where I think, well, I know better, so I'm going to go off the path and go a different direction because I think mm-hmm. I can get there a bit faster. And I do. And of course, it says make a legal U-turn and get back. Nope, I'm not going to do it. And you go and you go and you go. And it finally stops saying that. Mm-hmm. In other words, repent. But no, you didn't repent. And I wind up, uh-oh, you know what? I've just pushed this 30 minutes longer mm-hmm. because I didn't follow, you know, what the directions were. And I thought I knew right. better. And here's the neat thing. It doesn't say, well, go back to the original. Mm-hmm. It just says, well, how about if I just make a new path right. for you?
Recalculating.
I'll give you a new path. And that's what God can do. That's the good news mm-hmm. is that it's not required to be perfect. It's just a requirement of constantly saying, okay, now what? Yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, I didn't do the right thing. Yeah, I didn't follow that instruction. But I'm willing to do it now. Now what? God says, okay, I can recalculate it and give it to you now. And right. of course, he says the best thing is just stay with me and it'll be the mm-hmm. best path possible.
Right. I think one of the things we have to recognize as we're doing this, though, is that what we're talking about is countercultural, right? Because at every turn in every avenue and almost every circle you will have fed into you the idea that you are to be strong and independent and wise and gain knowledge and that you are capable of and you should. And that flies in the face of what we're talking about here, which is true humility and true surrender and true trusting God to step into obedience. And I think we have to recognize that the culture we live in is going to feed the idol of self. It's going to feed the idol of independence. And if we want to actually do this, we have to really be cognizant and intentional at putting patterns into our life and questions. You know, the people I disciple, I sound like a broken record, but I'm like, I want you to get so comfortable with the question, asking God, you know, what do you have to say now? What about now? I want that to just roll off your tongue as soon as anything happens, because it needs to be so natural to be dependent, fully dependent on him in a world that tells us and idolizes independence.
Yeah.
We have to be countercultural in that.
Yeah, which is the love of God, mm-hmm. That I trust him. He knows more than I do. He's has more of the story than I know, and he will lead me to the best and then better. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be independent. I want to be dependent on him constantly.
Beautifully dependent.
And receiving the fact that he loves me. He's going to guide me. He's going to show me the best. And my role is to keep hearing and following, hearing mm-hmm. and following. And he said, obedience is critical. And it's just a heart to be obedient and to take that next step. And again, we encourage you to do that with your spouse, do that with a good mm-hmm. friend, do that with an inner circle. Because together, as we learn this, it's, okay, let's confirm what we're hearing. Mm-hmm. And two, what step is God asking you to take? And let me help you confirm that. And if you're struggling with that, I'll stay with you, knowing that that's the best step to take. And it would behoove you to be obedient. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of this, that if we love you, that we will hear your word and follow your word, that if we hear and follow, the blessings will come upon us, and that we can not have to chase the blessings, we get to receive mm-hmm. them. At the same time, if we're disobedient because we don't hear and we don't care and we don't follow, he said, well, we're walking into trouble. And so if we could learn that, we'll stay in the beautiful place of blessing. Doesn't mean we won't have trouble, but you'll overcome it. And that, and as Joshua said, is for me and my house, we're going to stay there and not be complacent with it. And so we pray that we will choose this day who we're going to serve, which is you, because we love you. We want to receive your love and experience the very best. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.